Good evening. It is good, and it is evening, and I'm tired. It's been a great week, though. I tell you, I don't mind wearing myself out for those kids. It's worth every moment of that, and we had several of our folk working with us this week and sharing in the leadership and wearing the yellow shirts. How many of you saw the yellow shirts? Oh my, you missed out if you didn't see the yellow shirts. Orange. See, I told you I was tired. The orange shirts, yeah. Dave back there, he liked his orange shirt so well that he thought he'd frame his. After going through this week, he thought he'd need to frame it. Yeah. I asked him if he'd like to have this many kids. Oh, yeah. I don't think he'd really agree with that. It was a good week. And you just had to be here to really enjoy and understand it, and we just thank the Lord for such a good week. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to 2 Chronicles, where God says, that's enough, that's enough. 1982, ABC News reported on an unusual work of art, a shotgun affixed to a chair. And it was to be viewed by sitting in the chair looking directly into the barrel of the gun. And the gun was loaded and set on a timer to fire at an undetermined moment sometime within the next 100 years. The amazing thing was that people waited in lines to sit and stare into the barrel of that gun. They all knew the gun could go off at point-blank range at any moment. But they were gambling that the fatal blast wouldn't happen during their minute in the chair. Now, that story is kind of hard to believe, isn't it? To think that somebody would be that crazy is the best word I could put on it, to be that crazy. Why would anybody volunteer to stare into a loaded gun barrel? Yet, sad to say, many Christians are doing something that is far more crazy. They're living lives of rebellion against God. God is our Heavenly Father. And there is discipline and chastisement involved for His children when we rebel against Him. Many Christians have turned from God and are living a life their own way. They ignore the direction and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and they follow after lust of their own flesh. And hearts that once longed for God and to follow His will and hear His word have become hard as a result of a sinful lifestyle. There are people in churches every week who listen to God's messages and they understand what they're hearing and they feel conviction of the Holy Spirit, yet they continue to rebel against God. Their heart continues to get a little harder and a little harder. And that's the situation we find ourselves in our lesson tonight. Joash died in the kingdom of Judah, followed after other gods and became God's enemy. And they very quickly, after all that he had done, turned. And finally God said, that's enough. In our text, we have three kings that are mentioned, four kings that are mentioned here, and their lifestyle is very, very wicked. Jehoahaz. Let's read about these kings tonight. In 2 Chronicles 36, starting with verse 2, Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. Now the king of Egypt deposed him at Jerusalem and imposed on the land a tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. Then the king of Egypt made Jehoahaz's brother Eliakim king over Judah and Jerusalem and changed his name to Jehoiakim. And Necho took Jehoahaz, his brother, and carried him off to Egypt. And then we look at Jehoiakim and what happened with him in verse 5. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against him and bound him in bronze fetters and carried him off to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried off some of the articles from the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in the temple at Babylon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim, the abominations which he did, and that what was found against him, indeed they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. Then Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his place. And verses 9 through 10 speak of him. Jehoiachin was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months and 10 days, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. At the turn of the year, Nebuchadnezzar summoned him and took him to Babylon with the costly articles from the house of the Lord and made Zedekiah, Jehoiakim's brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem. And it brings us to Zedekiah, who we want to look at tonight. Verse 11 says, Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear an oath by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the leaders and the priests of the people transgressed more and more according to all the abominations of the nations and defiled the house of the Lord, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. Zedekiah is the last king of Judah before they're carried off into Babylon. And I want us to examine him tonight and think about his situation and what was going on in his life. And what could be very similar in our lives if we are not very careful ourselves. Zedekiah had a hard heart. Zedekiah's heart was just filled with sin. Verse 12 there says he did evil in sight of the Lord God and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. Zedekiah's problem began when he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Zedekiah's hard heart came about the same way hard hearts come about today. A hard heart starts with sin. One little sin, and then two, and you begin to build up. It starts with doing what we want to do. It starts with following after the flesh. And then it continues to get worse as time goes by. Verse 12 goes on to say, he did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. You know, God sent messengers to help. And this one very special messenger, as we know, Jeremiah was one of the great prophets that came to Israel and did all that he could do to get them to turn. Well, he sent Jeremiah to help him and minister to him and to warn him. And his heart was so hard that Zedekiah would not even bow to the prophet of God. God has given us opportunity after opportunity to repent. He has sent His word to us, and we will not listen. There are people in church every Sunday who have no desire to hear the word of the Lord. And as a result, their heart is growing harder and harder and harder. Well, Zedekiah rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar. In verse 13, we read he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Here was a man, Zedekiah, who had sworn an oath to Nebuchadnezzar, but he broke that oath. And unlike today, in that day and time, a man's word meant something. It's not unusual for somebody to promise you something today and not do it, is it? Well, in that day and time, that was just almost unheard of. Well, sin can take someone to the point where they really don't care what God or man thinks about their actions. And evidently, this is where Zedekiah had gotten to. You see, verse 13 goes on to say, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning to the Lord God of Israel. Zedekiah refused to listen. Refused to return, refused to obey. He continued to rebel, and he sank deeper and deeper into the sinful pit that had become his life. And Zedekiah is an example of someone with a hardened heart. And there are times that we act just like him. We can be in church every Sunday morning and evening and still have a hardened heart. When we refuse to do what we know God wants us to do, we have a hardened heart. And sometimes God has to get rough with us before we will listen. But here's the thing, a hardened heart is catching. The people are affected by a hardened heart. Look what happened to Judah in verse 14. The first part, moreover, all the leaders and priests and the people transgressed more and more according to all the abomination of the nations. The chief priests stopped worshiping God and turned to idol worship. No one is exempt. Even though those in leadership can become so set in their ways that they don't realize that they have a hardened heart. We who call ourselves leaders can get to thinking what we're doing is okay. We don't need to change. We don't need to look. We don't need to think about what we're doing. In reality, God is trying to get us our attention. And we're not listening. This verse tells us that not only the chief priest, but the people transgressed more and more according to all the abominations of the nations. The people followed their leadership. Whatever the leadership did, they did. And it's the same way today. People sitting in the pew will be affected by the leadership of the church. One result of a hardened heart is a damaged witness. And when we let our hearts become harder and harder against what God is trying to accomplish, we're going to hurt our own witness. Well, verse 14 goes on to say, the defiled and defiled the house of the Lord, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. A leader with a hard heart not only affects the people in the pew, but their witness can hurt the house of God. Many Christians who have backslidden continue to go to church. At times they become troublemakers and look for ways that they can cause all kinds of troubles in the church. But many times a backslidden Christian will just come in and sit down and do nothing. Many times a backslidden Christian will not join in on anything. They will not put their mind to anything. They will not say anything. They'll just do nothing. But they continue on going to church. They sit on the sidelines, let everybody else do it. They refuse to listen to God or God's message for them. Well, God has a solution for a hard heart. Verse 15 says, "And the Lord God of their fathers sent them His messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place." Judah had rebelled against God. They had defiled God's messengers, gone their own way, had worshipped the idols. And even after all of this, God still had compassion on them. What a picture of grace! And God's grace has not changed. He still has compassion on us today. Even though God had compassion, it did not change Zedekiah's attitude. It did not change the people. They continued to rebel. They continued to go their own way. They continued to do their own thing. It sounds really crazy to ignore such compassion, doesn't it? But there are some who are doing the same thing even today. Well, a hard heart is a serious matter. Verse 16 says, "But they mocked the messengers of God, despised His words, and scoffed at His prophets." A hardened heart will cause you to be defiant to God. And this verse shows how hard hearts can really become. To the point that, that whatever God does, whatever God says, whatever God tries, whatever compassion He has on you, He cannot get through. God showed compassion to them, and they mocked His messengers and His word. If our hardened heart is not soon softened, the same thing can happen to us. You may have had a hard heart for a long time. God may have shown you mercy and given you opportunity to repent, and you're still rebelling against God. If this is where you are in your life, you're living very dangerously. You see, God will not. God will not continue to show His mercy forever. Eventually, He will confront our rebellion. There's great danger in living such a life. You see, 16 goes on to say, "Until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people, till there was no remedy." That word remedy in Hebrew means medicine, cure, deliverance. The wrath of the Lord rose against His people till there was no cure. There was no deliverance. There was no medicine. There was no way to change. There was nothing that could be done. God had given every chance, every opportunity. He was not going to turn back. God had been merciful, but they had blatantly ignored Him. And in essence, they had said, "We don't want You." If you have a hard heart and continue to quench the Holy Spirit, basically you're saying the same thing. You're living in a very dangerous life. And if you refuse to change, the time will come when God will say, "That's enough. I've had all I can stand." 17, verse 17 goes on. "Therefore he brought against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young man or virgin, on the aged or the weak. He gave them all into his hands. And all the articles from the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his leaders, all these he took to Babylon. Then they burned the house of God, broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burned all its palaces with fire, destroyed all of its precious possessions. And those who escaped from the sword were carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him, his sons, until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years." God said, "That's enough. I've had all I can stand of this." And he allowed the Chaldeans to come in and destroy everything and to carry off every person they could into captivity. And those that they couldn't carry off, they killed. These people lost their freedoms. The very symbol of God's presence, the temple, was completely destroyed. They lost it all because they were hard-hearted. And they refused to listen to God calling them. God calls to His people today. Are we listening to Him? Have we gotten to the point, or are we getting close to where He's going to say, "That's enough"? Over in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in verses 10 through 12, we read these words: "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." There will be a day. No man knows when God will send Jesus back for His children and take them home. And there will be a day when there will be no more opportunities left. And God will no longer try to get our attention. And He will let the hard-hearted go. And His wrath will be poured out upon this earth, and the times will be no more. Peter goes on to say, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." This is what he's looking for. This is what God wants to give us. The verse says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." You see, God is going to destroy this world, but He has never stopped loving us. And He is trying to get us to come out of our hardened hearts, that we will be His children for eternity. We must get serious, because the time is short. It was short when Paul and the apostles were walking the earth. And they believed he could return just any moment. And it's been nearly 2,000 years. The time is short. Well, Peter goes on to say, there in 2 Peter 3 and verse 14, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, has written to you. As also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away by the error of wickedness. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." God has compassion on anyone who will repent and come back to him. Tonight, what do you need to do? Are you so sure you don't have that hardened heart? Don't you need to just stop and pray and ask God to show you? Every one of us need to do that. I need to do that. Being sure every day that we are in His will and not doing our will. Tonight, what do you need to do as we stand and as we sing? Jesus.